announce to you that we sent the money from the offering that was taken up. We sent it through the online, through the way they had set up from the church over there, Brother Donnie's, and we spent $2,000 over to them. They were doing it through PayPal, which many of y'all know. PayPal actually charges a fee, so we paid the fee out of the church account. I'm letting you know, because that would probably should be on, I guess, on the finance report, that amount went out from the church general fund. I think it was 40 some dollars, something like that. So that they got the whole amount is what we did. And so I again thank you to everyone, and we just do what we can, and keep praying for all the folks over there in that area of East Tennessee and North Carolina. Places that they talk about the devastation on the news all the time of what the things that's happened over there now. So just keep them in your prayers. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight before we open the scripture. Heavenly Father, we ask for your guidance tonight, Lord, and I ask God that you to touch me in my body and give me strength, dear Lord, that I may be able, Lord, to give all to you, Lord, that you can come and speak to us tonight from this portion of the word, Lord, that you've laid on our hearts. And we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We're going to turn again to Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to read from verse 12. Again, I want to kind of take up from where we were last Thursday. There's actually so much more to get to on this. Wherefore, my brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked, perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all, for the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Amen. You may be seated. We pointed out last Thursday that Paul was, in Paul speaking here, saying, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, that Paul was not actually speaking, that it's based on man's works that he's saved. We know we are saved by the grace of God. We know that we are saved because Jesus Christ came and gave his life, shed his blood for our salvation and for us to be delivered from our sins and the bondage of sin and the curse of sin and the curse of death. And that what, you know, when you come to be saved, you know, you were saved when Christ died. You accept it now by faith, by accepting what Christ did for you. But when a man does accept Christ, the thing is, it's not just a profession of what you say. You, in order to accept Christ, it means you've got to surrender. It means you've got to actually surrender and turn your back on the sin and the life of sin and things of the world, and submit to the Holy Spirit, because at that time, see, then God begins doing a work in your life. But at that time when a man gets saved, that man is not born again. It's not you get saved and that's the same thing as being born again. We remember back in the 80s, everybody was going around saying, I'm born again, I'm born again, I'm born again, you know. And you know, they weren't born again. They didn't even look born again, you know. But so it's not just getting saved. It's not just accepting Christ as your Savior. That's just a work of the Holy Spirit that begins in your life. When a man comes or a woman comes and they accept salvation, it's actually they're accepting the justification of Jesus Christ. He's calling to them, and they're coming, and they're accepting that call. And then the Holy Spirit, it's a work of the Holy Spirit, but they haven't been filled yet. They're not born again. All they've been justified. When a man is justified and he comes up and says, I accept Christ my Savior, he's still as filthy as he was before he walked up there. There is also sanctification, which means cleaning up. But then even then, many people, Brother Branham said, Billy Graham said, that's what Billy Graham's message was. Getting people to dump out and clean up. And he said, but the thing was, he never preached the message of them getting filled. And Brother Adam said, the thing is, mankind, men and women, they're going to be filled with something. You can't remain empty. And so, you know, many people, Brother Adam said, they come through, like he said, with Billy Graham and different ones. And friends, it ain't just Billy Graham now. He's gone. But there's still many that actually come in and out of the message churches, that they come and they accept Christ and they accept justification and they accept getting cleaned up, being sanctified, but they stop there. Because here's the thing, see, for you to go on to the next step and actually receive the Holy Ghost and be born again, you have to fully surrender and die to the flesh. Brother Branham said, people who come up to just sanctification said, that's a good picture of a good moralist. He said, they think that they're going to heaven because they've done that. And they think they're going to heaven, he said, because they turned over a new leaf or joined church. And he said, but they're just good moralists. They haven't come any further. And this is the thing. When a person doesn't go any further than that, then they're actually in a very dangerous place. Now, why would people come to that or come to anything and not go any further? And Brother Branham, speaking about this, people trying to actually work out their own salvation, he said, people having their man-made religion. They make up their own religion. Now, of course, Brother Branham, you could say, well, he was pointing to these different creeds and doctrines of the denominations and things. But friends, look, we've come beyond that. We're past that. They're still there, and that still happens and goes on. But that's not what we're really dealing with. We're looking at the time when it says it'll be so close that it would deceive the very elect if possible. We're not deceived by anything that the denominations have to offer. And so how could it be? Listen, friends, we know that it's impossible for the elect to be deceived. But how can those who are claiming to be the elect, who have came out of denominations or not going to denominations, are claiming to believe this end time truth and say they've accepted the message of devour and that they believe Brother Branham as the prophet to this age, how is it that they're being deceived? Because here's the thing, if they're not elect, they will be deceived. So there has to be something that takes place to deceive them from out of the midst of the elect whom they're going to church with.
Right.
Who, people that they're all claiming, we're all believing the same thing. It's Brother Branham says, look, he says, the power of God, the same power of God that falls on the elect or the wheat, he said, falls on the wheat. And they're right there together. And so you can't go by these outward signs of whether the power is falling on someone or they're rejoicing or saying amen or even saying that they believe it. But how is it that what takes them out? It's because they take things out of the very message that they claim to believe, and they form, Brother Branham says, their homemade fig leaf religion.
Yes.
It's their covering.
Yes.
Now, what he says, religion means a covering. But why is they need a covering? Well, look, it's because people want to justify themselves. They want to prove by what they say they believe or how they have took this quote or this scripture and that scripture and say, based on these things, I'm okay. And Brother Branham said, those are the ones, he said, there's sure going to be some great disappointment at the judgment. And Brother Ram says, it's not the bootlegger, the prostitute, the beer hound, or the gambler, he says, or the drunkard, he said, they know where they are. They won't be disappointed. He said, but where the disappointment's going to be is those who thought they were right. There's the disappointment. They think they're right. They claim to believe the end time truth. But they have actually took things and made their own religion. And their religion that they've made up doesn't even line up with the truth that the prophet taught. Look, the prophet never taught everybody camp out at your own house or in somebody else's house and listen to a tape, or sign on through an app and listen to what's going on up there in Jeffersonville. Look, I'm not against people listening to it. Fine, listen to it. Fine, listen to the message. I want you to. But I can tell you this, and friends, listen, I'm not drawing this line. It's like Brother Branham said here. He said, I didn't say this. Jesus Christ said it. Here's the thing. If they won't even line up with the message, if they won't go to church, they're not going to make it. I know it's, you said, well, Brother Ram says it's not the church that saves you. That's exactly right. It's the Word. It's Christ that saves you. And He is the Word. And the Word says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. They say, well, I'm assembling in my home. That's not what the prophet that they claim to believe preached. He said, have a home church where you go and support with your presence and your tithing and your offering. So why is it that we've got these ones that claim to believe the message, but won't even go to church? Well, I can tell you this. It's just like a lot of folks today. You're not going to get them to admit what the truth about it really is. But I can tell you what it really is. They don't want to accept the headship of Christ. See, they can claim Brother Branham. They can even claim our precious brother Joseph Branham up in Jeffersonville. But ain't none of them around them. Ain't none of them, Brother Branham says, a pastor. Said he's so right there with the sheep. He says after a while he gets to smell like them. And he said, and the pastor, he can see the approach of the enemy that's coming into the local flock. And he's there to actually be the shepherd, but it's the chief shepherd working through him. And so that pastor, there'll be times he'll see the enemy coming into the church or into someone's home that's in the flock that God has ordained him to pastor. And so he'll get up and he'll bring direction, he'll point it out, and he'll bring correction by the word. But if you're sitting at home, if this is an individual sitting at home saying, I'll just tune in to Jeffersonville, or I'll just put a tape on myself, I'm telling you, friends, there is no correction coming. There is no guidance coming. There is no shepherd. The Bible teaches us God doesn't work outside of the agency of man. God doesn't lead his people through some, you know, I don't know, fictitional osmosis thought system. Look, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. But how can you hear unless there's a preacher? Well, they say, well, I'm listening to a tape. I'm going to tell you something now. That's not a preacher. Brother Branham was a preacher. But that's not what the word is talking about. The word doesn't say, how can we hear unless we got a tape or a CD or an MP3 or something else? It doesn't say that. And this is the thing you got to realize. When that was spoke by the Holy Spirit, there wasn't no such thing as that stuff. So what happened? Did all of a sudden God get educated and say, well, you know what? My goodness, I've been passing up on all this stuff all this time. I can really gain by the knowledge of this. Let's get some electronic equipment and all this stuff in here, and I can do away with having to use man. Here's the whole thing. Remember what they all say? Just push play. That's the whole thing about it, friends. When it comes to a God-called, God-anointed minister of God, there ain't no play button, which also means there ain't no stop button. There ain't no pause button. You can't shut that off. And this is the thing, friends. That is actually the headship of Christ. That's how Christ administers his headship. Let me show you this. All right. If listening to a tape of Brother Branham and claiming him to be their pastor, if that was God ordained and if that would work, then why aren't they living what he preached? Why aren't they changing? Why do they do the things that they do? Because, see, they got control. They can push play. They can push pause. They can push stop. They can even choose what they're going to put on. But when you enter the sanctuary, well, Brother Bram says, he said, look, the judgment, he said, begins at the house of God. He did not say judgment begins at your house. He didn't say judgment begins at 792 Plunders Creek Road. Or whatever y'all's addresses are. He said judgment begins at the house of God. Well, then why don't they want to come to the house of God? Because they don't want judgment to have place in their life. This is the whole reason why Brother Branham said when it comes down to the very end, they're going to be greatly disappointed. Because guess what?
You either allow the word to come and judge you now, Brother Branham says, or you will be judged then. And Brother Branham said, I'd rather be judged by the word now and straightened out and lined up with the word.
Friends, listen. I just read you this. Brother Branham said they're going to be disappointed at the judgment. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Their disappointment's going to come even quicker than that. And Brother Branham said that also. Because Brother Branham said, when those great big hail balls start falling out of the sky, and he says, and the tribulation sets in, he said, they're going to say, I thought there was to be a rapture. And Brother Branham said, there'll be a voice that will speak back to them at that time and say, there was a rapture, but you missed it. They can think about whatever they want to think about around this area, about this little church here, but I'm going to tell you something, friends. When the tribulation sets in and they start knocking on this door out here and coming to this empty parking lot and they start calling your phone numbers and knocking on your doors and ain't nobody answering, all of a sudden they're going to have a realization. They were right. I was wrong and I missed it. They're gone. I'm not saying this to be mean. And I'm not saying this to be hateful or anything toward anyone. Because here's the whole thing, friends. It's the devil is the one that's behind all that stuff. And they have believed a lie. And they have cooked up their own man-made religion. And they still call it believing the message. But it ain't the message. Could you imagine if Martin Luther came back and saw the Lutheran church today? Could you imagine if John Wesley came back and saw the Methodist church today? Hey, brother, I'm telling you what. Their sermons would set them religions on fire. Why? Because they're not teaching what was taught by those spirit-filled men. If they believed what Martin Luther taught, if they believed John Wesley, then they'd believe this and they'd follow it. Because it's the same God. That's just like you go out around these denomination people's different ones and that, and they say, well, I believe the Bible. But you know good and well they're living lives that the Bible condemns. Listen, there ain't a one of us sitting here that would believe some person out here claiming that God accepts him as a homosexual or a gay or lesbian or whatever. No, we wouldn't believe none of that stuff. You wouldn't believe it for an instant. None of you would. You know what the word says about that. And it wouldn't matter what they said or what kind of explanation they gave you or what theology they had or whatever other religion claimed to accept them. You wouldn't be fooled by it in the least. Well, this ain't no different. Sometimes people look at some of that stuff and they say, well, you know, a homosexual or a lesbian, that's a whole lot, that's really bad. My kids, I know they ain't serving God, but man, they ain't that. Well, they're going to the same hell as they are. They ain't no better. I got news for you. Look, I'm not taking up for that life and all that kind of stuff. I believe it's evil and against the Bible. But what I'm telling you is, there's going to be a lot of people that profess to be message people that are going to the same place those folks are.
They know better. And they're not in any better shape. As a matter of fact, friends, they're actually in a worse shape. It's better that that these people had never heard of the truth.
The Lord speaks about it in the book of Revelations about this very age. He said, I'd rather you were hot or cold. I'd rather you were all in for me or all in for the devil. But because you are lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth.
Brother Branham talked about in his day and preached about lukewarm Christians.
Look, I think some of them out there claim to believe this message. I don't even know if they make it to lukewarm. I think some of them might just barely have the chill off.
I know it sounds like I'm trying to be real mean. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm speaking of this deception of the devil and what he's got out there. This whole thing, you know, I remember,
there's preachers everywhere that we all have confidence in. God called ministers, and every one of them's been dealing with these different things about people saying, well, you know, everyone that ever loved Brother Branham, or he loved, or everyone that loved you and you love. And so if my mama loves me or my daddy loves me, you know, I'll be there. And then the one said, well, you know what? We'll speak for him. And they take that from where Brother Branham said, there'll be some that'll come up in the day of the white throne judgment. He said, that were good to the bride. And remember, the bride will step forward and say, you know, and actually say something about them. But look, friends, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to be able to step forward on that day and say, hey, that was my mother. She was a good mama to me. It ain't about being a good mama.
Well, you know, I'm the bride, and she was a good mother to me, or he was a good daddy to me. Great. Wonderful.
I got some news for you, friends. There is a lot of, believe it or not, there's a lot of Hollywood celebrities that's better moms and dads than some of the people that have claimed to believe this message. So it ain't about being a good mom and dad.
It ain't because you are a Christian or elect bride and they were good to you because they was a good mama.
It's what they've done with what has been presented to them, whether they accept it or reject it. But now listen, you say, so what does Brother Manning mean with this? There are some that they're living the best life that they know how to live. They've given their life to Christ. They are saved.
And they're just not elect to see this message. Yeah. Neither are they running around out there posting stuff online and on social media about how terrible the message is either.
They just weren't elect to see it. But God actually gave them an opportunity to come in contact with part of the bride. Because God allowed them to be in a position to be able to help the bride with something they needed in this life. Now, let me give you an example. When my dad, 42 years ago, started that church up there that my brother's pastoring now, we were meeting in a family Y. We had no church to meet building to meet in. So we rented a room at the Family Y, and we held services there. All right. Now,
At that Family Y, they were operational on Sunday as well. So when the rooms we were in would have, on one wall would just be solid windows all the way down it. And we would have to pull the curtains on that wall of windows, because that wall of windows faced the hallway where all these women, different ones, going back and through and in and out of there in their bathing suits. Ask Sister Mina. She'd know she was there. When my mom or Brother Bill comes, ask them. They'll tell you. So, you know, it was, you know, that's not the ideal of what you want, the condition, you know. Well, we needed a place. Well, my father-in-law was working at a place called Nordson's up there in Amherst. And he worked with this man who claimed to be a Christian. His name, I don't know what his name was. I can't remember. Everybody just called him Frenchie. And so, Brother Frenchie is what we all called him, Brother Frenchie. And so, Brother Frenchie, he and Brother Bill, you know, they would kind of fellowship together on their lunch breaks and stuff like that or whatever, you know. And so, he found out Brother Bill's church needed a building to meet at. So, he said, well, I'll talk to my pastor. He said, we've got a building. And he says, and we're actually having a little bit of trouble trying to maintain paying for it. And he said, so because we don't have such a big congregation, we're having, so he said, maybe we could rent it on a Sunday afternoon. We have church Sunday morning, Sunday night. We could rent it maybe Sunday afternoon to your church, you know, and that would help us pay for the building. And he said, and that so Brother Frenchie went and talked to his pastor, and so the Brother Crisco, I think, was his name. And so Brother Frenchie made all that happen. Now, he never said anything bad against the message or rejected it really, whatever. He just seemed like he just couldn't, you know, he just was walking in all that he really could, was open to him, he could see. But he lived a good Christian life until he passed away. And he was always, any time that we needed something or it could do something for our church because we were meeting there in their building, always willing and ready. Yeah. Now, you take an individual like that. They weren't elect to see the end time truth. They weren't elect into the bride. But he lived in all that had been opened to him. And he was good to the members of the bride right there. And God used that man to do something for his people. Now, I believe a person like that on the day of the white throne judgment, brother, I can tell you, I believe there's going to be some stand up that was in that that congregation during that time. They're going to stand up and say, oh, Brother Frenchie was good to us. You see what I'm saying? It ain't about speaking for somebody because they are related to you. And that's what a lot of that is. It has to do with filial love. Look, friends, my filial love, I don't want to see any of my relatives lost. I don't want to see any of my kids lost. I love them. And I'll tell you what, even with my filial love, I'd be willing to do anything. But see, that filial love on a person, it will actually cause them to listen to things that will actually make loopholes and exceptions just to make them feel like their relatives are going to be okay. Because our filial love, boy, it can't accept that. You see, the agape love of God, God's first. His word is first. The life of the word is first. Look, friends, I serve God before anything else. God's got to come first in your life. a lot of folks' problem is God ain't first in their life. They got other things first in their life. But now, individuals that I've dealt with in my time being here in Dixon, it wasn't that many of them had jobs first in their life. It wasn't that many of them had riches first in their life. It was that many of them had family first in their lives. Mama was first. And that's why when Mama left the church, all the rest of them packed up and left too. Because Mama was the leader. Daddy was the leader. And so when Daddy, something rather he found that he wanted to leave the church over, then all his adult children, with all them little grandchildren around him, they got up and left too. Why? Because Daddy was first. Mama was first. If God is first in your life, friends, listen, the greatest thing that you could be for your family is a living testimony of Christ. That's the greatest thing you can do for your family. For your loved ones, your relatives, your children that are not saved, the greatest thing you can do is live that life of Christ before them. Take your stand on the word and the truth. Look, if you take your stand, then you don't got to continuously every time you see them. I'm not saying every time you see them, you got to be saying, hey, you're wrong, hey, you're wrong, hey, you're wrong. But I will tell you this, if at any time in your life that you have believed some of this man-made dogma around this message, and have passed on to them that, well, my whole family's going to be there. I'll claim you. I'll speak for you. If you've ever subjected them to that, then I'm telling you, friends, you need to tell them that's wrong. I ain't saying, look, if you've got, look, I realize that you might have children and relatives and that there just ain't no getting along with them. I realize that. Everybody's got that. But if you've got some, maybe they're not serving God, they haven't given their life to the Lord or whatever and that, and they're not trying to cause your family trouble, stir up drama and trouble, fine, go ahead and have dinner with them. Have them for Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving, or whatever else. Go out to eat with them, but live that life. But look, I got to tell you, friends, I don't care. Sometimes people, at one time I think they thought of me that I was making statements because I just didn't know what it was. I didn't experience it myself. Well, I don't got many branches that I hadn't experienced yet in this life. There might be a few, but not a lot. Hey, not all my kids are saved. I know where I'm coming from, what I'm talking about. And this is the thing, friends. I don't want no drama stirred up in my home. I ain't going to play games with all this evil stuff. If they want to live evil and be evil, whatever, and they want to do evil to the family, and they won't do evil to me, and they can't just come around and be amiable, not cause trouble and things like that, then don't come around. Because you know what it is? The devil will use them to keep you tore up and upset. He'll use them to keep the family tore up and upset. I ain't talking about just, you know, you, your husband and wife, and your three kids in your house. I'm talking about your extended family, your brothers and sisters, and moms and dads, and all this and the other. I know some folks got their own idea of what showing the love of God is. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. The love of God holds people accountable. If I had an individual calling me constantly on the phone, coming over to my house, and all they did was bring in evil spirits and bring discouragement and try to say things to get me upset and discourage me and beat me down and criticize the way I'm living for God and everything else, then I don't got time for them. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? I can tell you, I've got people, relatives and friends, that they don't know this message or ain't serving this the God themselves or whatever, and some of them, they're not living good lives, some of them, as far as what we would say the lives they're living is against things the Bible says. But they never say nothing to you about, you know, trying to demean you in your walk with the Lord. They don't say anything to try to discourage you. They're not coming to attack you. They love you with as much as they can with their filial love. Then you shouldn't have a problem. But if every conversation run-in with them has something to do with something they're trying to actually discourage you in your walk with the Lord, then I would advise you to cut off that communication because it is not beneficial to you. But now I'm not telling you what to do. Y'all are all adult Christians. You can make up your own minds and do what you want to do. But if you keep them coming around and discouraging you, beating you down, and you got to keep coming to me, then I'm going to tell you what I just told you. Hallelujah. As people think, my son Will, they think I influence him on who he sees or who he talks to. I don't. I told somebody, I said, look, he's a grown man. He's an adult. He's a man. He makes his own decisions. I said, do you agree with his decisions? So far, yeah. Because I have been there when he was discouraged. I have been there when folks are beating him down and trying to drag him down. You see, he has to deal with his whole rhetoric from some biological siblings who hate the fact that he has anything to do with me and Mina or this church. They've said things to him like, you still going to church over there? I don't know how you go get around Mina and Jerry. Well, that's what he's had to deal with.
Now it's back to this. Hallelujah. What time is it? Oh, my. All right, look. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. We kind of got into this a little bit last Thursday, but I got some things here that some of them I mentioned, but I went and got the quotes in that when I was studying on this, back through this. Matthew chapter 12, verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Brother Branham preached and taught on those very scriptures. A greater than Solomon is here. And he condemned the people with their man-made religions and said that the queen of the south and the men of Nineveh will rise up against the people of this generation with their homemade religions and condemn them in the judgment. But now let's go on. Verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also in this wicked generation. Brother Bram says this in 1963, August of 1963, in the message of investments. He said, Jesus said, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, did you ever notice he never said when he's cast out of a man? But when he goes out by his own will. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he returns back to the man and finds the house that he lived in has been swept and garnished. Then he goes and gets seven other devils, demons, unclean spirits, and enters in to this man. And the last estate of this man is seven times worse than it was at the first. Did you ever notice the devil went out by his own will and he returned by his own will? Now, if this house had already been occupied when he returned, he would not be able to get into it. But you see, he just found it swept and garnished. Now, what is the scripture speaking of? What is Brother Branham relating to from this scripture? He's relating to people who say, I want to go to church. I want to get right. And the people that come to church, and they come and they say, well, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. They even say, for us, they even say, I believe this message. I believe Brother Branham was the prophet to this last age. I believe it's the end time truth. I accept it. And then, look, I'm relating things to you that you have witnessed right here in our time here. Folks coming in, and they get, look, the Bible says it finds the house garnished, and Brother Branham points that, said swept out and garnished. But then Brother Branham begins to talk about this in Impersonation of Christianity in 1957, and he said, when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, the devil, he said, then look, the man, he builds a great modern new home, and he's and there beautiful lilies come up in the yard and pretty grass growing, super duper highway running through it. What? And he says, it's not that old fella that was living there with the fuss, cuss, and treat your neighbors wrong. Be denominational, narrow-minded, skeptic, infidel, little half enough religion to make you sick. See, they clean up. He says, and then he'll decorate his house. Decorate it up right.
And he takes that old tin can alley, see, and old doubts, fusses on it, and he says, and he cleans it up and decorates it. Well, what's Brother Rand referring to? Well, let's look on here. Why some people can't keep the victory, 1957. Just that one I read you was in January. This is in March of 57. He said, look, the Bible said when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walks in dry places. Here's what's the matter. When the unclean spirit comes back to the old place, that's the reason you have your ups and downs, is when the unclean spirit goes out, that's just as far as you go. You get a new heart or something. You get a face show. You got a face show. You got something put on, a little something on the outside. This is what he's talking about when he mentions earlier, decorated the house. It's what Jesus always says. He finds the house swept out and garnished. It's been decorated. That individual comes and they're sojourning with you, sitting in the pews with you, listening to the word being preached. And boy, they're rejoicing because the Spirit is falling on them just as much as it is you. And they're rejoicing and they're testifying. And friends, they quit their lying and they quit their stealing. And they'll even go make things right and take things back and all this, you know. And they'll begin to, they'll walk off from doing that. They might even quit their smoking, quit their drugs, quit their drinking, quit all these things and all that, you know. And they're feeling really good. Brother Bam actually says in the Message of Oneness in 1958, he said, he becomes sanctified, cleaned out, his house all swept. He feels free. They feel free, friends, and that's why they testify. They like that feeling. But here's the problem. They stop right there. They don't go on and get born again. They don't go on and get filled with the Holy Ghost. And so that evil spirit, that unclean spirit, sinful of the world spirit, that left them and made them feel so free and good, because it left, it comes back. And it says, yeah, see, you've changed the place. You've put a paint job on. You got some flowers out. You've decorated. Why, you got message books on you. Whoa, you got an MP3 player. Boy, you made some changes. You're quoting the scripture. You're quoting the message. You're not drinking anymore. It's all decorated up, but guess what? It's empty. That's what Brother Branham means by they just got a face show. They've just put on a new face. It's just on the outside appearance. Brother Branham says, look, they're in a process of conversion at that time. He said, but they haven't been converted. He says, you're not converted until you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And once you're sealed, then that devil, that evil spirit, that unclean spirit that went out can't come back in. Brother Bam says, because the good man of faith is standing there at the door. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says, when they do that and they're just cleaned up, he said, they just make a real good target for the devil. He said that in Oneness of Unity, 1958. He said, when Satan returns, about that time the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, but when he tries to tempt that person again, and he will, many times they give in. Why? Remember what I've mentioned to you so many times, Brother Branham preaching about the Holy Spirit and calling it the tie post. He said, if they don't have that tie post, they got nothing to hold them. But if a person is sealed by the Holy Spirit, friends, the Bible tells us they're sealed into the day of they reach their destination. They're sealed until the day of redemption. They're sealed all the way through this life. They cannot be lost. They will not go back out. Say, well, wait a minute now. Brother Branham said a man has the Holy Ghost. Could he backslide? Yeah, he said he could backslide. But what does he really mean by that? Sometimes, friends, sometimes we'll give in to our emotions, our temper or something, and we'll kind of lose it, fly off or something. But then that conviction comes, and you can't just let that be like that. You don't try to cover it up. You'll confess it, repent, and then go on. Hallelujah. He said the devil will come and tempt that person again. Now, and he says that many times they give right in. Now listen when he says here in blind Bartimaeus. You're going to see what time it is. Oh, man. And let me just close with this. I really didn't want to close with this, but I'll close with it. He said, the unclean spirit's gone out of a man. He walks in dry places. And when he returns back, bringing seven other devils worse than he was. Now, if the good man of the house isn't there to keep him away, he'll enter in by force. Another message, he says, the devil will overcome that person. And that's why they end up, you don't see him no more here. You don't see him wherever church you're at. Whatever bride message, believing God-ordained church they've come into, they're right back out and in that cycle again. Why? Because they've been overcome by that devil. They never got filled. They never got born again. Like I told you last Thursday, they get out there and after a while, you know, they get back under the pressure of feeling that being bound by the devil again. And that freedom that they had enjoyed when their house was cleaned and swept and garnished and they had redecorated it, they don't feel that no more. And many of them get to missing it. And their conscience begins to bother. And they begin to want to get back to that. But I want you to know this, friends. Even when they're telling you they want to get back to that, they want to feel that again. Many of them, they have no more, they don't mean no more in the world than they ever did before, that they really mean to actually surrender from that stuff and die out to it and surrender to God and actually let him come and give them the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their soul and seal them. No, no, no. And they'll tell you, I want to, but you know, I just can't. Why do they go back to the drugs? Why do they go back to all that living in sin? Because that desire is still there. And that desire becomes greater than their desire to feel that freedom. And it's because all it is an emotional thing for them. Hallelujah. We got to be born again. Let's stand. Oh, I thought I'd get further on this. Hallelujah.
ask, Lord, you go with the people now tonight, dear God. Bless them, dear God. Any of them, Lord, got work tomorrow. Some, Lord, are out of town at work now. God, I pray for them. I pray for Will, God. And I pray, Lord, that you, Lord, he wants prayer, Lord, that you will, Lord, open up an opportunity for him, either where he's working there or a different place of employment to where it won't be taking him out so much and out of church. Lord, I pray you'll be with him and strengthen him, dear God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, again for Sister Bethany Hatfield up there in Bluffton area, dear God, Ohio. God, I pray, touch her tonight. Father, I believe they have church on Thursday night too. I pray you bless her, dear God. I pray you heal her from this mental illness that she suffers from, dear God. I pray you'll give her rest in her body tonight and in her mind, dear God. I pray, dear God, you go with us. Bring us back here again at the appointed time on Sunday, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I made an announcement on Sunday that not this Sunday, but the next Sunday after, which I believe is the 27th, we'll have a communion service. So, amen. God bless you.